Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for joining us again for another word and another worship to our Father God on this evening. And this morning, we had a wonderful lesson this morning presented by Brother Wiggins, and it is my prayer that he has a safe return in his travel back home. And it is always a pleasure in meeting our fellow brothers and fellow laborers in the kingdom, amen. And for that, I am thankful. A powerful message about the water and the spirit, very essential for our salvation. And I would like to take this moment, an opportunity to thank God for his mercy and grace to allow me this opportunity to share with you another word on this day. And I'm thankful for the invitation from our very own minister, Brother Stroud, for this opportunity as well. And I'm also thankful to all of the brothers who has contributed to our worship service thus far this morning and so far this evening. And it is always an honor and a privilege to stand or to be before you and proclaim the word of God and to use my ability to spread the good news of the gospel that has the power to save souls and to keep you saved. If you commit to your memory the greatest love story on this earth. And I want to also take an opportunity to welcome any visitors who may not be members of the Church of Christ. It is my prayer that you render obedience to the whole counsel of God so that you may ask that question of what must I do to be saved? Because the Bible teaches us in Matthew 7 and verse 21 that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So not everybody that believe on God will make heaven their home, but it's something that we all must do. And that's the will of Father God, which is in heaven. And to please God, we must know exactly what he expects of us, right? And he reminds us in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, he says that, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And this tells me, brothers and sisters, that there are false doctrines out there that are intended to distract us. See, the devil is busy and he wants company. And we got to be careful. We got to be careful and be serious about our spirituality and don't get distracted by the world, but seek the Lord and his entire righteousness. And the scripture tells us in 2 John 1 and 9 that whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And see, you abide in the doctrine of Christ by obeying his word only. There's only one teaching of Christ. And he commanded us in Mark 16, 15 through 16, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized, there go the water, baptized in water, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And we must understand what that gospel is, and that gospel is the story of how Jesus died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 1 through 4. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. That is that gospel story, that Jesus died for our sins. We must die to sin, and as Brother Wiggins pointed out this morning, that Jesus died for our sins so that we don't have to die in our sins. Amen. And in Romans 6:3 tells us that, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. So Christ died for our sins so that we can have an opportunity at a new life. We must die to that sin, be buried with him in a watery grave of baptism, contact that blood that is in the water that can clean us, and we can rise and walk in newness of life, and that obedience would add us to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, the only church that you could read about in the Bible. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And it's not until then that you can call yourself a Christian. So it's my prayer that if there's anyone on this call that is not a Christian, that has not heard that story and rendered that obedience, you still have time. You still have time. Do not let time expire before you obey the whole counsel of God, because you can't be serving God in a church that you cannot read about in the Bible. You have to have the whole counsel. You can't pick and choose, but the whole counsel of God. And for a few moments here, the text on this evening will come from Isaiah chapter 40, and the verses are 28 through 31. And my title for this evening is, The Lord Shall Renew Their Strength. And I have a question for you today. How many of you go or have gone through some things in this life? Have you ever gone through some things to the point that you don't know what to do or how you're going to make it? And see, in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah the prophet here in this chapter will reveal to us that and the people and the to his people that God is a God of comfort. Despite what we may go through in this life, that God is a God of comfort. And he spoke to the people of the comfort to come for those that would trust in him in the time of discomfort. And what Isaiah was doing was reminding his people about the assurance of God. And in verse 26, he tells them to look, to lift your eyes and look around you. Who created these things? And he goes on to ask a few questions. In verse 28, he says, Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We'll never understand or have the mind of God, our creator. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. For a few moments, Isaiah ends this chapter with a few questions. Some rhetorical questions, maybe not really rhetorical, but some questions of reasoning, reminding them that they are children of God. And he asked them, he said, you don't know? You haven't heard? Our God that we serve, our creator, doesn't faint. He goes on and he's reminding these people in a time of discomfort that where our comfort lies. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to to remind you of the same thing, despite what we may be going through, despite the obstacles, the trials, the tribulations, the things that are going around you or in your life in this world, we cannot lose sight on where our true peace and where our comfort comes from. And like Isaiah, I'm asking you, you don't know? You haven't heard this already? Our God that we serve, our Creator, He doesn't faint. Our God don't get tired. You might. I might. We may get exhausted with dealing with things in this life, but we got to be reminded. We got to be reminded of the God that we serve, regardless of what you're going through. You may think your situation is different and God doesn't care about you just because of what you're going through, just because you're going through something. That's not the case. Let's take a moment and think about this. Can you imagine what life would be like if we didn't have travails, tribulations, if we didn't go through some things? See, sometimes we learn things the hard way. And if there was no trials, no tribulations, just observe how you act when things are going good. How often do you pray when things are going well? How often are you studying when you feel like you have no issues? But as soon as bad news comes, you start praying, you start texting folks to pray for you, you start reading. And Paul says in Romans 12:7, that he was given a thorn in his flesh so he would not become exalted or think highly of himself. And see, we probably would be the same way if we didn't go through some things. And see, without God's trials and tribulation or without God's correction or faithfulness discipline that we sometimes need, we probably would never develop spiritual strength and endurance. And as Paul stated, the thorn in his flesh served as a reminder for him to not become inflated. It's the same with us individually. Sometimes we must go through some things to keep us humble and to avoid being overconfident or the feeling of being self-sufficient, thinking that you got it all under control. No matter what it is, the reason it exists, good or bad, is because of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly, it's all by the will of God. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it said, God promised that we would never be tempted above what we can bear. He promised to make a way for us to escape and win victory. We have the victory no matter what, brothers and sisters. God never promised that he wouldn't give us hard times. But instead, in Hebrews 15:3, he promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. In Philippians 4:19, he promised that he would supply our every need. How many promises of God do we need to put our trust in him? Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Did you hear me there? He said he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, look how Isaiah described our God in verse 28. Isaiah 40:28. He said, he fainteth not, and neither does he grow weary. So there is nothing that he can't handle. So why wouldn't we put our trust in him and put it into his hand? You can't do what God can do. But God wants us all to grow stronger. And to grow stronger as Christians, to grow stronger individually, to grow stronger as a congregation and a church. But the first thing is that we must realize who God is and what he is doing for you, for me, and for us right now. Your problems or your issues are not a surprise to God. It's a test, and he has the answer. And the scripture says that he gives power to the faint. Sometimes we often say that we can't take it no more and that we're just tired of the issues and we feel like giving up. The reason you feel that way is because you're not trusting. You're not trusting in God. It's okay to grow faint and get weary, but you must realize where the power comes from. He gives power to the faint and the weary. So if you're not relying on God and trusting him, you'll fall and be spiritually wounded. And he does not only give power, folks. What the scripture says here, he increases strength. And see, if you trust in him, you will receive power and an increase in strength. You will be stronger than you were ever before. And Isaiah goes on to say that even the youth shall faint and grow weary, and the young shall utterly fall. See, it don't matter how young, how strong or mature you may think you are, you could be brought back down. We can't rely on our own judgment. You will eventually put yourself in a place you don't want to be. But you better rely on the truth. And God's word is truth and God's righteousness. Why? Let's look back at the text. In verse 31, he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings as eagles." And see, baby eagles in the nest can do nothing but wait until the mother eagle returns to bring their food or whatever is needed for them to stay alive. It is the same with us, folks. We must stay in the nest of God's house and trust in the fact that he will bring us, he will provide what we need and accept whatever comes with it because we know it's for our own good. But sometimes, if those baby eagles are left too long, they may start to cry louder and louder, flap around and make a big scene when all they have to do is wait on their provider. And as Christians, we can sometimes be like those baby eagles when trials come into our personal lives. We bicker and we complain when trials enter the church. We become gossipers and panic and let the world know our troubles. But let me ask, if we behave like this, how can we say we trust in our Father to supply every need and still act as if there is no hope? And from a world's perspective, and I'm sure if you've heard me speak before, I use this analogy a lot. A financial advisor will tell you that you need up to 6 months of reserve financially for your monthly expenses to live in case of an emergency. Some of us do this and some of us may not. But my point is that we have to learn to treat our spirituality in the same fashion. We need spiritual reserves to help us maintain from day to day. And to answer the question, the reason we fail, sometimes the test of our faith is because we have no spiritual reserves. We are bankrupt spiritually when the trials come, so we have no faith deposits and trust in God in our spiritual account to withdraw from. We don't spend enough time saving up our blessings being thankful when things are going good, making spiritual deposits of prayer, fellowship, studying. We haven't spent enough time studying. We haven't spent enough time praying. We haven't spent enough time fasting. Why? Because we think we have it all figured out ourselves. But brothers and sisters, friends and family, we can't grow without adversity. You can't remain on top and think you have it going on. It's the struggle that proves and reveals your true character and your faith. And as I come to a close, a couple points or promises that I want to point out from verse 31. And it reads, and here are those points. For those that follow Christ, God will renew their strength. This implies that we can sometimes struggle, but we must be reminded to hold fast to the truth of Christ. And in this scripture, the same passage, it says that we will mount up with wings as eagles. And see, eagles represent strength. And God is using it to direct us to his love and his power. And as Christians, we should live a life representing love for God by how we live, and love for others by how we treat them. And he goes on to say in that same passage, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's goodness is forever overflowing for those that obey and trust him. And to my friends and families and brothers and sisters, we often have to be reminded of who is in control, reminded to wait upon the Lord and to look to the hills of Calvary, to the Son of God that saved us from the wrath of God. This is the same God that will bring us out of any situation we deal with. He conquered death, so there is nothing that he cannot do. And if we want to please God, we must know what God expects from us. Because there are many distractions in this world today. Just look around you. But we choose how we behave individually. We choose who we serve. It's whether sin unto death or obedience to righteousness. We must become serious about our spirituality and do not become distracted by this world. But we should seek the Lord and his righteousness always. And while we still have blood running warm in our veins, we have another opportunity to get it right. And how do we do this? Well, I told you the story of the gospel. That how Jesus came down, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus, the Son, God the Son, rendered obedience even unto death of the cross because he had you and I on his mind. We could not be saved without him. And he commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell them what I did for them. While you were yet in your sins, tell them that I died for them. While you were clubbing last night, while you were just living the life how you see fit, they ridiculed me for you. While you ignore me, while you don't worship me, you're not faithful to my services, you don't put me first in your life, I took them stripes for you because I loved you. I loved you enough to give my life for you. And all I ask that you do is in return, live righteous for me, for my sake. Obey my gospel. And how do we do this? Romans 10:17 says, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you must believe it. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then you must repent. Luke 13:3 said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And as Brother Austin Wiggins told us this morning when he was preaching in Acts 8 about Philip being the eunuch, and he said, and when he preached unto him Jesus, and we use this verse for the confession, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:36-38. And the eunuch commanded the chariot, stop. See, that was repentance. And see, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to command the chariot to stop. And the chariot might not be the chariot we're thinking about with the wheels and maybe the horse or the camel that might be pulling it. But that chariot could be anything, that path that you on that's distracting you from God. Command the chariot to stop. Repent. I don't want to go on this path anymore. Turn around. Because if you don't, he said, you will perish. And we must make that confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you, when you make that confession, he says, and baptize them. Acts 2:38. And upon that obedience, the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47. And it's not until then that you can call yourself a Christian. And my message to you, brothers and sisters, friends and family, that no matter what the situation is, God has the power to bring you through. Just hold on to his unchanging hand. And that is my message for you on this evening. May God bless, and may you have a wonderful week. Amen.